Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sacred Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Let's get into it. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they finally got to Aspen. It was a pretty boring episode until we actually got to Aspen. We had to see them all packing and who cares. And we get there and then it's at Kyle's house. She has a nice house in Aspen. Mauricio comes. He's making steaks. They're having like a very casual dinner. And Kathy Hilton shows up. And they're joking that she's so high maintenance because she's like, Kyle, do you have a fork? Do you have a knife? Do you have any napkins? Let's be honest. No one ever said Kathy Hilton was low maintenance. I'm like, can she have some utensils to eat the meat with? Anyway, then Kyle shows her her room, which is bunk beds. So I'm like, I think she's being pretty cool to sleep in a bunk bed. And she was. She's like, oh, this seems fine. This is fine. So half the girls are at Kyle's house. The other half are at a beautiful rental home down the road, and which is a little bit nicer than Kyle's. No offense, but I think I'd rather be there. And then the queen bee, Diana, she has to stay at a hotel because I thought it was like a security reason, which I do think that could be the real reason. Don't send me a letter, Diana. I'm just saying, like, maybe you have to have people on either side of you or something in the rooms. I don't know why, but she stays at a hotel. Also because she's just a diva and wants the amenities of a hotel. That's probably more it. But she does have her stylist come with her who has to like zip up her ski jacket. And she also admits to Garcelle before that the reason she does that is because she has like Ghostbusters is what she called them. But like people that sage the place, get rid of the energy. When she is honestly like brings up some darkness into the room. So just kind of ironic. So they get after they have their corn on the cob, they're sitting around and Lisa Ren is like, look what I found in my room, a Ouija board. Yeah, right. So they sit down and of course, Kyle, who is, you've heard of teacher's pet. Kyle is what I want to call producer's pet. She's like, okay, let's make sure that we didn't bring these guys to Aspen for nothing. Let's make something happen with this scene. Who still hates each other? And Erica's like, well, Garcelle, I don't know why you brought up my drinking. Why did you bring it up and talk about it with everybody else, but you didn't talk about it with me? And Garcelle's like, Erica, I did. When? When you and I went out, ironically, drinking. I said, why are you drinking so much? Okay, well. And she's and they're like, why do you know, what else is your problem? And then Sutton's like, well, why doesn't anyone feel badly that I was called horrible names by Erica at the reunion? And everyone's like, what? Who cares about that? And they flash back. And at one point, Erica says to Sutton during the reunion, it was a bitchy thing to do. And you are the worst word that you could call a woman. They bleep it out. And she's like, why did nobody care that they called me that? And then Diana, the new girl, Diana, who's staying at the hotel, says, because you are one. Erica falls over, claps her hands, and she's like, ah! Garcelle's like, this is horrible. Sutton's sitting there. Other people are laughing. Lisa Bruno's like, doing her face. And at that point, it is honestly the worst slumber party. Honestly, it reminds me of the one time, no offense to public school girls, but I was invited to a public school girl party. And I was the only one that went to the Catholic school. And I'm the Sutton in this. I was the Sutton in this situation. I couldn't say the right thing. They were being mean to me. I was crying. I woke up the next day. And they'd put cat litter in my sleeping bag with a cat litter shit, hoping that I'd roll over on it. But I like never really moved when I slept. Anyway, that was Sutton. This was the meanest like middle school, awful, not even middle school, like maybe middle school. I don't know. It's like sixth grade. Just horrific, horrific, horrific. And they're all laughing. Sutton's sitting there crying. And Garcelle is like, you guys, she's crying. And then Kyle's like, don't be a victim, Sutton. Don't be a victim. And she's like, well, I'm not being a victim, but it does surprise me that nobody came to my defense or said anything to Erica that it was wrong that she called me like the worst thing that you could call a woman. And then Garcelle's like, well, I didn't appreciate that Erica called me a liar. That's why I stopped following you guys on Instagram. And then Kathy's like, there's three things I don't ever want to be called. A liar, a thief, and a pedophile. And they're all laughing about the pedophile. And I'm like, okay, again, Diana, don't send me a cease and desist, but look it up. Interesting word of choice for the circle. And then there's the thief. Okay, people think Erica's the thief. Who's the liar? I don't know. It was just like, and I was like, well, you didn't say racist, Kathy. Okay, that's a little foreshadowing. Anyway, it is a dark freaking situation. And she's just sitting there, Sutton. She's Heather McDonald from the private school with the mean public school girls, just alone with cat shit being planted in her sleeping bag. And she sits there and like they're, you know, and Kyle's just like, no, no, no. And trying to explain that this isn't it. And then Diana says, Garcelle goes, why won't you forgive her? And they flash back at all the times that Diana said that she would forgive Sutton. And she's like, I don't like you, Sutton. I don't like you because you made fun of my miscarriage. And Sutton's like, I said I was sorry. And she's like, you questioned it. When I went to Garcelle's party, you made fun of it. You questioned it. You acted like I wasn't telling the truth. And meanwhile, you had a miscarriage, but you're just mentioning it now. Which is basically she's calling her miscarriage. I mean, the subjects of this evening were so awful. And they're like, well, we have an early day tomorrow. Who wants, you know, to go skiing? So they leave. And we're going to see it next week. I mean, it looks like next week's episode, they go skiing, they have some fun. And then Erica is going to go crazy. And she, in the previews, she is like yelling and saying like, I don't care about the people. What about me? I only care about me. And Rinna's like, don't say that. And Kyle's like, Erica, don't say you don't care about the victims. Like, so I don't think we're going to see anything with the Kathy stuff next week. I don't know, but it's juicy. Almost as, I was going to say, if you're watching this on YouTube, you guys, please subscribe to YouTube. I'm about 10,000 subscribers away from 100,000, in which then I get like a big present. I get like a plaque for YouTube subscribers that I think I really deserve it. And I think The Office would really enjoy it. So can you subscribe to my YouTube page, please? Thank you. Anyway, the Bravo chicks showed the picture of Erica. I have it here. Laughing. After Diana said, because you are one, about poor crying Sutton. And they wrote, this is dark. This is bullying. This is not entertainment. And then I don't get this, but they showed something where the Pretty Mess had commented, wow, I knew about jewelry shopping sprees and plastic surgery, but this really threw me for a loop. Oh, I think she is referring to Tom Girardi buying the condo for his mistress. And then Lisa Rinna says, Oh, Sutton, here's another LA Times article for you, Henny. I don't know if she meant to write honey or she just misspelled it, Henny. Like teasing her that Sutton knew how to read. Well, I'm sorry. Sutton does know how to read. And she did read the entire LA Times article when none of you could and couldn't imagine that she took the time to read it. Very, very mean. Very mean. You know what's not mean and fun? I am coming, you guys, to a lot of cities. And you better get on it because it's a live Juicy Scoop. And you can get your tickets at heathermcdonald.net. Make sure you go to heathermcdonald.net. Those are the best prices, the accurate tickets, all of it. Now, some have sold out. Dallas sold out. I added a second show. There are some very, very close. I don't want to announce another one that I think is sold out just yet, but I think is. So check it out. I'm coming with Justin to a bunch of them, with Chris Frangiola. Vegas is really the bonanza. That is October 22nd at the Venetian. That is Brandy, Julie, Justin, and Chris, and possibly others. That one, you know, because if you're going to come to Vegas, you want to plan a weekend around it, get on that. Chris is coming to a bunch, Seattle, Portland, and the East Coast. HeatherMcDonald.net, get on it. And now, this, I've got a very juicy interview about a Hollywood actress turned the most famous and acclaimed porn star. So this is a little bit of a risque of an interview. It definitely starts out light and gets a little sexier. So I want to just warn you, when driving around with it blaring and you're going through the carpool line to pick up your kids, might want to save this one for when you're taking a walk or cleaning your out your closet or rubbing one out. Okay, and here we go. You guys know I care about my hair looking good, and one way I do that is using Whey. And I want to talk to you about Whey's thick and full supplements and scalp serum, because they are really game changers, and it's so easy to use, and you really are going to notice a huge difference. The Whey thick and full supplements are vegan, one-a-day supplements with zero flavor that support thicker, fuller, healthier hair. It really helps reduce the appearance of shedding and supports hair strength. It really just improves your overall hair health. So it gets you that thicker, fuller strands. Also, the Whey Scalp Serum. This is a daily scalp serum that can be used day or night with wet or dry hair, and it helps soothe the irritation from tight ponytails and excessive hair detangling, which I'm guilty of. It keeps your hair feeling stronger and looking fuller, just healthy, hydrated, balanced scalp, which is so important. It's coming from the scalp. Grow all the way with Whey's scalp serum and thick and full supplements. Go to thewayTheouai.com and use code JUICY to get 15% off your entire purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at thewayI.com, code JUICY. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I think we're ready for a real juicy interview.
Juicy.
I'm here with Maitland Ward, who was an actress. We're going to get all into it. Not only were you in White Chicks, we realized, but best known for your role in the hit show Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Now you have a book coming out. It's out today. How Porn Liberated Me from Hollywood, and it's called X-Rated. Rated X. And I'm just ready to hear your whole life story, because you had a traditional career as an actress, doing sitcoms and parts in movies and stuff. And now you are very happy being an extremely successful porn star.
Yes.
A lot of people use the word, I once joked about this, I'm like, not everyone's a porn star.
That's true.
But admitting you do one tiny porn, it's like, porn star. No.
I know.
I don't think everyone's a porn star, but you are.
It's like saying, like, people are like, you know, television star when they've done, like, one guest part.
Reality star.
Right.
I don't know if you're a reality star.
But I honestly, I'm so thankful, like, to my fans and everything. Like, I am an established porn star. So award winning. I think once you win awards, that's when you can say that you were an established porn star.
And I want to get into the whole thing of how you came here and, you know, you're the happy porn star with the glowing skin.
So good for you. Thank you so much.
You said you grew up here in LA and you went to Long Beach State.
Yes.
And so were you pursuing acting then?
I got a part on the soap opera The Bold and the Beautiful when I was like 16 years old.
I turned 17. Bold and the Beautiful.
Did you remember? I was Jessica Forrester. I was blonde and young
because
and
Bold
teenager
and, Beautiful and like was a spinoff of Young and the Restless.
Yes.
And those were the only soaps I ever watched as a kid.
It's funny because I watched the first episode of Bold and Beautiful when I was 10 years old when it first came on.
Yeah.
I was sick that day, so it just happened to be. But I was like, I want to see the first episode of a soap. Because I was a big soap fan from when I was young, because my mom watched it. My grandma watched it.
Wait, stop. I remember the first episode, too.
Ridge and Caroline.
And they had and the characters had gone to USC.
Yeah, because it was all LA. Yeah.
Yes, and I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest. Yeah. I want to go to USC.
My character on Bold and Beautiful went to USC at one point.
I love it.
And then she went to Oxford in London when she left, when they kicked her off the
show. So when you were 16 and you started working on that, then were you no longer in regular high school?
No, I was in regular high school at the time because I would go like a couple days a week to regular high school. And then I would have.
And what high school was that?
Lakewood High School in Long Beach, California.
Okay.
And it was fun because I think everybody saw me as a drama nerd before. I was good at drama. Like, yeah. I was really into like the drama program and everything, but nobody thought I'd be a soap star. Like, and I think that really shocked everybody.
Now, how did you get an agent and all of that? Were you a child actor, or how did that come about?
I wasn't really a child actor. I did a lot of theater and stuff in my community, and I did like classes and stuff. But
so your mom and or parents were involved in
they were involved.
Allowing you to do this?
They were like, oh, but don't do anything professional until your braces come off. And I did. At 15, my braces came off. So I was like,
And then at that point, did you kind of have to get your parents to make sure that, you, like, mom, I need an agent. I need to have headshots. And, like, you were the one pushing.
And I went to this place called TVI, which is an acting studio.
I totally remember that.
Do you remember TVI?
Mm-hmm.
They were so big back in the day.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And I think they're still around, are they? I don't know. But,
yeah.
But I was like, they have like professional acting classes and they help you get agents and they get headshots and everything. So they did help me. And I think I was one of the only people that actually got a job from a TVI, like casting director, like
which was
workshop.
Probably, I remember all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Those casting directors. It's like you pay.
Yeah.
You pay for the casting director to see you and the casting directors get paid to be there.
Yes.
But once in a while, they do find someone that they can bring in on something.
But I really think it was because I was only like 16 and I was in this casting director workshop because I was a big fan of soap. So I was like, I want to be in a casting director workshop with the Bold and Beautiful casting director. This is amazing. But everybody else was like in their 30s and 40s and they had been acting a long time. And I came in there like totally green.
Well, everyone always said back in the days when soaps were popular, mm-hmm. like it is the greatest training ground.
It is.
Because you have to read and memorize so much dialogue and such a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Was that difficult or are you someone that memorizes easily?
I kind of am somebody who memorizes easily. But like at the time, like I was in high school, so I was really like used to like studying and getting all that information in my mind. And so I think it was easy for me, but I definitely had to learn the tricks of the trade. But it is the best training ground. I mean, nothing else would be as hard as that. Like,
but is there even any soaps left? I think there is just Young and Restless.
Well, Beautiful is still left, yes.
So those are the only two?
Four.
Oh.
There's four. And actually, Days of Our Lives is going to the Peacock like streaming network. So
you know what? It might actually get a new life.
Honestly, back in the day when they had radio soaps and they went to TV, it was like, oh, is it going to be good on TV and stuff? But actually, they're doing a good thing for Days, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually do.
Okay, so everyone's like, Heather, get to the sex. Okay,
get to the sex!
But when did you get Boy Meets World? How old were you there for that?
I was about 20, I think. Like it was after Bold and Beautiful, and I had gone off the show for a little while. But all of my success like happened in a very short span of time. Looking back on it, it seemed forever at the time when I was young. But
yeah.
So I didn't get it very long afterwards, and it was funny because I started off in a very dramatic role in the soap opera, and then to get sitcom, sitcom was something I really loved to do.
And so what was your role on the show?
Bold and Beautiful?
No, The Boy Meets World.
Yeah. I would say I was the sexy roommate of the boys when they went to college. Like, it was these kids that grew up on Boy Meets World, and then all of a sudden they went to college, and it was the college years.
Okay.
And I was the sexy roommate of Will Friedle, Eric, and Jack, who was Matthew Lawrence.
And so that was in front of a live audience?
Yes.
And so now I read a little bits about articles and stuff that you touch upon in the book.
Yeah.
But, like, looking back now, what are the things now that we know so much about Hollywood and you know, how women are treated differently than men? And especially even a few years back, like, what do you want to share about that? That, like, now you're like, I can't believe that this happened or I didn't realize it at the time.
It was interesting because writing the book, I actually realized a lot of things that happened that I didn't, like, give enough, thought to at the time.
Right.
Because I thought, I'm an actress. I'm going to do my job. Like, it's okay to go. Like in one, at one point, I was asked to go up to the producer's office over and over again to try on lingerie for a specific episode.
Right.
And it's like, nowadays, I would be like, why do you have to see me in all of this lingerie over and over and over again?
So,
well, it's a very basic lingerie. It's not like, okay, but they needed to get it right.
Okay,
supposedly.
So wait a minute.
And I thought that was my job.
Okay, because so I've done, you know, I've been on TV.
Yeah. And have you ever done that?
I've never done lingerie type of stuff, but it was because I was always just like funny, whatever. But normally the way it works is you go to wardrobe.
Yes.
Let's say you're doing a scene where you have to go to a cocktail party.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're like, okay, you know, the star is wearing red, so I brought you blue, green, and pink.
Right.
These are the two that we like. They take the Polaroids, and then they send that to the producer, who then chooses the pink.
Exactly.
Never in my life have I gone to the producer's office in the outfit.
I know.
And so they made you, instead of doing the Polaroid.
Not one time, not two times, but like three times. For a basic set of like a little, you know, like a little camisole. And,
yeah.
But no, but they made me try on the way worse
for,
one.
It was,
not worse,
and this
I
was
won't
just
say. But
one producer or a couple?
No, it was a whole, like 15 of them. Like, seriously. Like,
all. Were they all guys?
Yes. Maybe like one was a girl. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like a whole room of them. And I remember the executive producer, Michael Jacobs, was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed to see you here because you're like a daughter to me. But I'm like, you've had me come up here three times in all this lingerie. And it was like, we have to get the right lingerie. It's like, really? Did we? Like, I know. Take a Polaroid. Take like pictures of me. It was really an odd experience, but I thought it was my job, and I felt so insecure about my body back then and stuff. Like, even though I was like a string bean, like I had no reason to be like insecure about it, but I was young, and I was, you know, but I was like, I have to do this. I have to look good for them. And the thing I was most worried about is that I wasn't like sexy enough for them, or I didn't like the lingerie didn't look good enough on me or something.
Right.
You know?
So how old are you at that point?
21, about.
Okay.
Like, yeah, just getting to drinking age. Like, you know, not old.
So you do, you're doing that.
Yeah.
And then how many years did you do on that show?
I was on a couple of years. It's funny because I was on the last two seasons of the show, but I had auditioned for a show called Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane, which was the year before, which the executive producer of the show he was producing it. But I didn't get it. Selma Blair got it, actually, and she's great. And we were totally different types. But they gave me a holding deal for Boy Meets World. So I had kind of been around for, I'd say, the last 3 years of the show because I was, like, around
everybody. So at this point at 21, you are making enough money so you you can live on your own pretty well.
Yes.
And do you have a boyfriend? Are you sexual? Like, what's going on at 21 while you're this sitcom star?
I had been on and off with my now husband because we had met early on in my soap opera career. But he had gone to college back east and stuff. So we had been back and forth or whatever.
Okay.
So I was very nervous sexually. Like, I did have little sexual liaisons, but I didn't feel confident enough in myself to, like, be myself. You know, so So yes and no. Like that time I didn't know who I was as a person. I was truly discovering myself, and I was trying to like stop myself from being like a bad person, like quote unquote, like what I thought. Like,
and did you have, what was your grow, like what was your parents' situation? Were they married? Were they religious?
Married. Still married to this day.
Okay.
And very religious.
What kind of religion?
I would say my parents weren't as religious as my grandmother was.
Okay.
Like Christian, like my grandmother was like a Baptist kind of.
Got it.
You know, she loved me to death, but she would always tell me I was going to go to hell. Like,
for what?
For like anything. Like the rapture was coming. My parents weren't that far.
Okay.
They wanted me to be a good girl and like live by the rules and stuff. But my grandmother was like, oh man, you better live in line because you're going to go up and the rapture needs to get you, you know, like, or you're out, like burn at the stake.
And I mean, at this point, are you having fun as a 21-year-old that's a working actress? Like, you're not going to nightclubs and seeing Paris Hilton. You're not doing any of that.
No, I was not doing any of that. No, I was
Do you feel like you missed out?
I did. Yes. I did. Although I don't want to be like crazy and like, yeah, be, like still, arrested
like,
or anything.
But like, but you I should have. Yeah, why
I
not? Did.
And I felt like I couldn't because I felt like I'd be a bad girl and people would look down on me. And I was always interested in like, oh, like, will Disney want me for the next job? And like, well, if I show myself as being really responsible and a good girl, they'll hire me. But they didn't care.
So then when did the White Chicks come in?
White Chicks was a little while later, and it was so fun because we could go to Vancouver. Like,
yeah.
It was away from Hollywood, and I got to hang out. Like, it was a girl's dorm at the...
Right.
Yeah.
Were you in
that hotel? You were in it.
I was in that hotel, but I only did a few days on
right,
it.
Right, right.
But
we were months there.
But, you know, the three girls that were the friends.
Yeah, like, that wasn't me.
Busy Phillips. Right, right. Then there were
Jessica Caulfield.
The two girls that they were playing.
Yeah.
Was you.
It was me, but you didn't see me because I was.
Yeah, right.
But I was the real
like,
girl.
You were the real girl who like she has the beginning scene of yeah. like what? Reading and then reading the newspaper like, wait, that's us and everything. Well, I remember because I wrote it too with them.
Yeah.
And I remember they like, this is the, they found you guys first.
Right.
And then made the masks.
I know.
To match them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we had to wait for like a month up in Vancouver because they were matching the like prosthetic pieces and stuff on their faces.
And so wait, who played? Were you Marlon or Sean?
I was Sean.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I'm thinking of their faces. Yes.
Yeah.
I was Sean.
Right. And that was great. So you did that. That was fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So then where does it start to happen where you're no longer or as pursuing regular Hollywood as much as because you first started with like. Just tell the story.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so well, where are we like making this transition
Hollywood,
now?
Like, typecast me, basically.
Okay.
And it's funny because when I look back on everything, I was not the star of Boy Meets World, and I was not the star of White Chicks. But,
right.
But it's a weird thing. I was still typecast as that. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't, like, given the celebration, I guess, as the star of the show. But I was also said, you can't do anything else because we've seen you in that. So it was very much of a typecast situation. And I felt, like, more and more when I was going out in Hollywood and auditioning and stuff that I was like, wait, people don't want to see me. They want to see me as my character back then, but they don't want to see me as well. So it's kind of like they want to just keep me in this box and like
and
set
me
aside.
And was your representation, do you think that they were good or
– No, I had terrible representation all along. Like, but it wasn't
– Did you switch agents a
I
lot?
I switched a lot, uh-huh. Yes, and I did. And then one time my agency like quit on me and I didn't even know it and the casting director told me about it. The casting director's like, your agency says they're not your agency anymore. And I'm like – What? And I just talked to them before. Like, I talked to them the other day, and they're like, no, you better talk to them again. Because they gave up on me.
And when you would then say, wait, what's going on, then what would they say?
No answer. It was crazy.
I've been dumped by agents.
Yeah, I know.
And this is how it goes for me.
Okay. What happened?
Tickling. And it's like, I'm the agent.
Yeah.
You're Heather.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Heather, how you doing? Just say, yeah, you're being, yeah. Just go, yeah.
Hi.
Go, yeah.
Hi. I'm so excited to talk to you.
God, these are the kind of conversations I hate. We just met with the other agents. I think you're so talented. I think you're funny. I think you're a great writer. Really should be pursuing that more. And, but, you know, we just don't feel like we can do the job for you anymore.
It's like.
And
you got the call. I didn't get the call.
I'm letting you know what the call is like. So maybe it's better you didn't get
the call. Okay, give me the call.
Maybe it's better you didn't get the call. And you're like, all right, okay. You know, but it is pretty,
I know what you mean,
it's
though.
It's pretty disheartening because you're like.
Yeah.
But then as the agent, I'm always like, I almost have more sympathy for them too because I'm like, they only have so much time. And for whatever reason, they think, and if they really think like I'm not. I don't believe in you anymore and I'm not picking up the phone.
Yeah.
You should try to find someone else who's hungrier.
At least they told you that.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it's true. It's like, and also it's a cutthroat world. It's like they have to make money and they have to like, especially like during pilot season and everything when it's like, everybody's like going out for roles and stuff. You don't
like
get
whenever
it.
Somebody like wins an Oscar and they're like, and to Joe McMahon who's been there since I was 18, I'm like, who has
someone? I know. Yes. He's like, who's got an Asian since they're 18?
Yeah, I'm like, well, then they do definitely deserve to be share that Oscar
if
with.
Joe's because, been with them all the way. Yeah. They deserve it. I'm like, yeah. What on earth?
So, okay, so you're getting a little disheartened.
Yes, I'm getting disheartened. And I kind of like separated myself. Well, Hollywood separated itself from me, but okay. I also was at the time discovering myself. Like, okay. I was like, I don't want to be that same girl that was like on Boy Meets World or auditioning for all those things. I wanted to like see who I was as a person. And actually, right. I got married and moved to New York.
Okay.
And that kind of gave me a breath of fresh air, I guess, because I was away from the Hollywood scene. Because when you're in it, you're like, people are on you all the time, you know.
Well,
like,
and you're
surrounded.
It,
yeah. And, yeah. This party's going on, this audition's going on, and you feel like you're in competition all the time.
Yeah, especially like a pilot season.
Oh my God, pilot season is the worst.
And then you go into the room yes. and you see all the girls yes. and you're like,
I know.
Or you find, I remember one time I went out for a pilot. It was called Townies. It never really made it.
Wait, I remember that name though. What was it?
I'm sure you went out for it because they wanted a redhead, a blonde, and a brunette.
Probably.
Kind of like just, it was like when everybody was trying to get their friends.
Yes, that's
so
what I got.
It
yeah.
was all these 20 yeah. something, three right. girls living on their own or whatever. Right. And I remember I was just sitting there and I could hear the casting director saying that it's like already been cast.
That's
and
the that weirdest put thing out when that happens. Offers.
And I'm like, well, why am I? And I've like met with a coach and memorized everything. And I'm like, why like, am so, I sitting here?
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. Yeah. And pilot season is worse because they're doing it so fast and they're like people, you know, the agents yeah. are like giving their clients like, oh, God, it's the worst.
Yeah. And so, OK, so in New York, are you pursuing acting in New York? Or
no.
Just taking a breather?
Theater. I did a little theater and I did studying and stuff like that. But I was actually really – I took a time for myself where I started writing like erotic fiction and stuff. And I started getting into writing because I love writing. That's like a real passion of mine.
Yeah.
Ever since I was young, but I kind of like swept it aside until I was older. I don't know why, because I just did.
Yeah.
But I started like, you know, doing – I was like, oh, I'm discovering myself sexually.
Yeah.
And it was funny, like by the time that I came back to LA, I took screenwriting for 2 years at UCLA. And I was always writing like these kind of provocative scripts. Very funny scripts though.
Yeah.
Provocative dark comedy scripts. Like
okay.
And it was always had to do with some woman who was like this sexually frustrated like dominatrix or something like who like, you know.
But at this time you're not
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just discovering myself. I'm just writing and I'm doing.
Right.
And I actually didn't think I was going to go back to Hollywood at all. Uh-huh. I really didn't. I thought I would do it in the way that I would write something.
Okay.
And maybe I would star in it or maybe somebody else would star in it. But I thought that was the way to do it. But then Girl Meets World comes around, which was the spinoff from Boy Meets World.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, like a whirlwind, attention came at the cast. Like, what are you doing now? Like everything. Like social media was like on fire.
And what year is this?
I'd say this was about 2013, 14.
Okay.
You know, and I had just, you know, so I was like, I had worked so hard to kind of separate myself from my past. You see, people say, oh, you're not grateful for your past or whatever. I totally am.
Yeah.
But it's like going to college, like being in a sorority and everything. Yeah. You have the greatest time and you love it. But you don't want to live there for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
You know, can you go past that too and remember the good times?
Yeah.
So that was kind of how I felt about it. And I still feel about it because I did love doing it and I'm grateful for doing it. But now I want to like do my own thing and kind of expand beyond that. But there was so much attention when Girl Meets World came around that I was given a choice, not specifically by anybody, but like myself. I could go back into like the past and like really live in that character again.
Were they asking you to be in it?
Yes and no. Yeah, in the beginning, absolutely. I was told I was going to be in many episodes of Girl Meets World. But
so what was it going to be about?
Well, it's about like Cory and Topanga, the stars of Boy Meets World, they're kids. So it's Girl Meets World, the daughter. She was meeting the world.
Okay, got it.
But, and they brought everybody back and everything. But when I started getting attention on social media, because I said, I'm just going to be my authentic self. I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to be for Disney or for anybody else. I'm just going to do things I want to do for fun. And I started doing sexy cosplay because I love doing that. And I started.
And what is that? Just sexy costumes?
Costumes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Like a photographer found me on a red carpet one time that he gave me like an authentic slave Leia costume from Princess Leia from when she was tied to Jabba the Hutt by chains.
Yeah.
And it was fun and I loved it. And it's something that I just like to do.
Okay.
So I did a lot of that and I did a lot of like.
And so then your Instagram started to grow.
Yes. Okay. It started to grow from people just being interested in like, wow, she's doing sexy pictures and she's doing, you know, bikinis and all this. It wasn't porn at that point at all, but it was just like, you know, kind of racy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Disney and Michael Jacobs, the executive producer, were not happy with this and they did not want me representing the show like this.
Okay.
Even though it was just bikinis and cosplay.
Yeah.
So, so that became it became a problem, but still, at the same time, I was wanting to grow away from the character of Rachel from Boy Meets World. So, and I was like, I want to be myself. I want people to like me. And my following was growing, not just from Boy Meets World followers, but people who liked me from my cosplay and stuff. I remember at Comic-Con in San Diego one year back then. I remember the first time somebody came up to me and said, I'm such a fan of yours. And I was like, oh,
so you Boy Meets World. Did you go as like a star to the
Comic-Con?
You just went as like a nerd?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And they came up to me and I was like
walking around like any other person? Okay.
I mean, no, I did some appearances at Comic-Cons that were like celebrity, I guess. Okay. But like I really loved walking around as a nerd. Okay. And this guy came up to me and was like, I am your fan. And I was like, oh, Boy Meets World, okay. And I was, and he's like, I love you on Snapchat. And I was like, that was the first time. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a lot of big audience on Snapchat. But no, I really do. I don't like sitting at a Comic-Con and like, I'm not the kind of person who's going to charge you for selfies.
Yeah.
I don't ever do that. I don't like sitting in a booth and just signing. I'm like, I like to walk around. If you come up to me, I'll take a selfie with you. I'll sign your stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I just love the experience of the Comic-Con and everything.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're like, oh, like this is kind of great. I'm kind of growing this following.
Yeah.
So you're spending time on social media posting stuff.
Yeah, just okay, sexy
so
stuff.
So then what's next?
It's interesting because I did a shoot for International Kiss a Ginger Day.
Okay.
It is a holiday.
You're a gorgeous redhead.
It's my,
and you're a natural.
It's my holiday.
And you're a natural.
I'm not a natural redhead.
You're not a natural.
I'm a, actually, well, I'm a blonde, but kind of a golden strawberry blonde.
Okay.
But, yeah, I enhance it over the
years. Yeah, good.
Yeah. But International Kiss of Ginger Day is like some, you know, just a day in January that we like have fun. And, you know, I like to celebrate it every year. But I was looking for somebody to do a cute little kissy shoot with.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who was a producer knew a lesbian porn star. This was back in 2015. But I think that was the year. 14 or 15. But who knew a lesbian porn star who named Ella Alexandra. And she was cute, adorable little redhead. And she, like, loved Boy Meets World. And she was like, I'll do the Kiss of Ginger Day thing.
Yeah.
And we did it. And we were like, oh, we did our cute little pillow fight, like, little, you know, slumber party shoot. And then at the end, we got naked. We got totally naked at the end and did these, like, scandalous shoots that never saw the light of day until years later. And I remember at the end of the shoot, she was like, you're going to do something in the adult industry. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I was just having fun. Like, and but she was right. So years later.
Now, wait.
Okay.
So now have you been with women at this point?
Yes. I had been with women in my personal
life.
And
did you and your husband have like a more of a non-traditional sexual
I'd
relationship?
Say
like, do you include other people?
Not at once. Like, he's very open to me having women in my life, like, because I need that kind of, and he was like, very open to me exploring that side of myself with women. He has no issues with that. And like, when I started filming with women and stuff, it was no big of a, it wasn't a big deal at all. But we don't have a traditional open relationship or anything. It's all.
But like, you never had a girlfriend that like, you're like, I'm going to see my girlfriend Jenny tonight.
Yeah, kind of.
You would? And then you would have sex with Jenny and come back the next day and it's fine.
Yeah. As long as it wasn't going to replace my marriage. Like, it wasn't like a serious relationship to replace my marriage.
But that never made him nervous?
No. Girls never made him nervous. Never, ever, ever.
Okay.
Even though I had a few girls that were like bitches that I that could have made him nervous, but no.
And then would those girlfriends ever join you as a threesome?
No.
He's never slept.
He's monogamous. Yeah.
He's monogamous to you. Okay.
Yes.
Well, this sounds like the perfect situation.
Yeah, it is. I know. It's a perfect situation. But honestly, though, except for girls, like with guys, I'm not out there dating guys or anything.
Yeah.
Like I just do it on screen.
Okay,
that.
So let's get to that.
Okay.
So now you, yeah. you're kind of like, okay, this is, so the first thing sort of in yeah. stepping over the edge.
Okay. The girls, yeah, stepping yeah. over the edge, but it was okay. fun. And he, okay. like, yeah.
So then what happens?
Okay. Well, let's go back to, yeah, yeah. like, I was getting kicked off Instagram and Snapchat and all those things all the time.
For being too sexy.
Yes.
Okay.
For nothing. Like, right. My nipple was too hard in a shot or something like okay. that. So I was getting kicked off Instagram all the time for, like, a shadow of a nipple or whatever. And my fans were like, you need to make content. And I was like, what is content? I don't even know this. But I looked into it and I started a Patreon page, which is basically people who are patrons of you who will pay anywhere from, well, in my case, $15 to, like, $300 a month to get your content. And I was like, one night I was like, oh, just make a page. Let's see how it's going to go. And then I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to announce it. It's embarrassing. Maybe they'll give me $500 a month and could put to a photo shoot or something.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, 20 people had signed up. And I was like, wait a minute. I didn't announce it yet. So I announced it on my Twitter. And all of a sudden, like 2,800 people were like signed up for this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, they want to see my new pictures. Like, this is like a thing now. And it kind of evolved from there. Because in the beginning, I definitely am an exhibitionist at heart. And I discovered that about myself. And I liked taking the Playboy style pictures and the cosplay pictures and doing all that nudie stuff. But
and for those photos that you would supply for the Patreon, that content, would you and your husband just take those, or would you always have like a professional photographer or makeup artist, like, or do you do it yourself?
It was mostly myself, although I do have a photographer that I had met on the red carpet who gave me that Slave Leia costume.
Yeah.
He is very involved in it, but my husband he's such a good photographer. Honestly, he is. And he yeah. loves me, so he knows how to photograph me.
Yeah.
So he was very involved in all of that at the beginning. Like now mm-hmm. when I do professional stuff, he's not on set or anything.
Now at this point, like, do your parents know that
no.
you... Okay.
They knew that... No, actually, they were fine with me taking like Playboy style photos.
Okay.
They knew that. But when I started to go, I was like, I want to do sort of like girl stuff. And he loved me with girls. I mean, like, yeah. he was fine with me with girls. And I was like, well, let's try that. Let's bring the girl for International Kiss and Gender Day back.
Okay.
Remember her?
That's pretty, well, yeah.
Yeah. So we did a scene. We actually did a full like
video.
Lesbian scene.
And that was on Patreon.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh huh. Yes. They did not know this, but.
Who did not know this?
Patreon.
Oh, because Patreon had. That's like too sexy for
yes,
Patreon?
It's okay. Yes. They can do,
nudes. I have Patreon, but it's just all.
You could do nudes.
Mine's just Juicy Scoop and audio yeah. mostly.
Actually, now I've gone to OnlyFans.
Right. So
Patreon is basically.
But OnlyFans didn't like exist back
no,
then.
No, yeah. or it wasn't big a deal enough.
Okay.
And also, I just started out on Patreon. So,
right.
And then I became the number one adult creator. And adult meant like nudes and stuff.
Okay.
So I did that. And then I was like the girls. And I brought yeah. Elle back. And I was like, oh, Elle knows other girls that maybe I will work with. And so we did all that. But then it came to a point where I was like, I had all these sexual fantasies and things that my husband and I couldn't fulfill with each other because it's like dungeons and like group sex and like all this crazy stuff that I was thinking in my mind, like, I really want to try this. And then eventually one day he was like, I know you need to do this. Like, and he was the one who said, you need to like, we need to like explore the idea of you doing stuff with men that like we can't do together or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. Like, and it was crazy.
And was the first time that you do that where you're like, well, let's get the most out of it. Let's actually start filming it. Or did you do some just privately?
Oh, we did nothing.
So the first time
my fans have seen everything on screen that I have done, except for, you know, not everything, but like
yeah.
along this journey.
Got it.
So I never did anything off
screen. So now at this point you have the OnlyFans.
No, I didn't have OnlyFans.
Oh, you're still doing Patreon.
It was still Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, we don't see anything. We're making all this money a month off you, but wink, wink, we don't see anything.
Okay.
They're going to cancel my account now.
Do you still have Patreon?
I do, but I don't use it for that way
anymore. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Past that.
So that you have Patreon and then you had got OnlyFans.
Oh, man. My Patreon was on fire back then.
Yeah.
Like, and the Reddit boards would be like trying to steal my content all the time because I was.
Right.
Like the first time I actually did a scene with a guy, like I first did a blowjob.
Okay.
With a wonderful guy. And so I tried that out. I just wanted to do the blowjob.
Yeah.
Like oral sex.
And are you filming all this stuff like
yes!
at your house or do you have like a studio?
Oh, no,
at
like
this
a
point?
Like a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I did another scene with a guy, and they were both porn professionals who had been in the business for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And I happened upon them from my original, like, talking to Elle, the lesbian porn star who introduced me to somebody And then if I would not have had such great experiences with these guys who were so professional, they taught me the ropes. They taught
me. Now, what makes a professional porn star? Like, well, what, like, you know, a professional actress or a makeup artist is someone whose brushes are clean. They're on.
That's true of a porn star, too. Their brushes are clean.
Exactly. So, like, let's say you're a makeup artist. It's like your brushes are clean. Your stuff is laid out. They've already looked at your photos from the red carpet. They show up.
Yeah.
They're on time.
Yeah.
They don't talk too much, but they listen to you. They have fresh breath. They're in your face.
Breath is important in porn, too.
Okay. So what makes a professional porn star where maybe someone is a porn star, but they're not as professional as the most professional?
You know, I would say, like, when I was starting out, they were gentle with me. And I don't mean gentle in the way of the sex. I mean, like, they were like, are you ready to do this? Are you ready to do that? Like, they were kind of like introducing me to the whole world.
Guiding you. Yeah.
And also, they're very respectful. They don't try to cross lines. Like, okay. I'm sure there's – I've heard that there's guys in porn, in any profession, in mainstream and whatever, who will try to, like, cross lines or whatever. But, like, they are always, like, very professional about that, like, being very respectful. Respectful is like, and also they taught me the ropes of how to, like, perform for a camera.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, you're having sex, you're enjoying it, you're getting
into
it.
It's not just that you're into it. It's
but
like
you got to make sure that, like, you're,
it looks good.
You don't then do sets, flip around, and now you're not. Now his body's covering you, and we can't see anything.
And in the beginning, I didn't know any of that, and they were like, "Here, open up here, do this," and they would, like, open my leg and, like, do, you know. But, and so that's very important. And I learned I learned the ropes from them. And I would not have had such a good experience without them. And they were good with my husband. We were like, it was wonderful. Like,
and so the first time the husband sees another dude have full-blown sex with you.
Yeah. We thought it would be weird.
Okay.
It wasn't. It was so natural. It was like, and I remember at the end of the scene, the guy who had sex with me, he was like, I said.
And this was the first dick you had in you since the husband?
Yes.
So how many years had it been?
Well, I had been married since 2006, and this was probably 2018.
So.
Yeah.
So, wow.
It wasn't the first vagina, but first dick.
Okay. And was that kind of crazy then?
It was crazy, but I was like, it was so freeing. And the fact that my husband was there and watching, and he knew I needed this, and he knew I needed to explore myself as a sexual performer, it was so great. And I remember asking that performer afterwards, like, what do you remember about this? And he's like, I remember you weren't nervous, and I thought you would be so nervous. And I wasn't. I just went crazy. Like, I just, like, it felt like such a liberating time for me.
Yeah.
And again, because he was professional and he was, like, he was very respectful of me and, like, my husband. And they, you know, so it was much easier in that way. But still, I found myself as a performer. I was, like, I loved performing.
And, okay, so now how old are you at that point?
40?
So, I mean, that's kind of interesting,
to me.
That you're killing it at not 22.
And this was not when I started winning awards and everything. This was when I just started, like, exploring, like, porn and everything.
Yeah.
And I, like, worked for, like, a year and a half before I actually got into the professional, like, studio realm of it, like, where you're
And then how did you, like,
because
back in the day, there was the Vivid, the Vivid girls, and the Vivid contracts girls. and all that stuff. And, you know, now with the world of, which I think is so great for people in the sex industry, is that they can have so much more control over their content, filming, what they want to do, whether they never want to be with someone else, you know, but they, but, you know, back in the day when the Valley was known as the porn capital of the world and the Boogie Nights movie and, like, and even in the height of the 90s where you'd see these girls walking getting coffee with their 90s big heart.
Those big boobs. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even know how they did it. It was like balloons.
Yes. And so it's like, and then, oh, God, did you ever watch those documentaries? Like,
I've seen some.
After Porn Ends and all that on Showtime. It's like kind of crazy because it coincides with, like, the real estate crash
of
2008.
Yes, in 2008,
So, like, there was before the porn and then there's after the porn and then some of the girls left porn to be real estate brokers, but then
the
market crashed and then they went back to porn.
And then moves this big.
But that was all before, like, OnlyFans and, right. and technology right. and webcamming. And so the only way you could really make the money
was
as a porn, yeah. yeah, is, like, to be in the movies.
Right.
So then, since you could kind of do this yourself,
yeah.
then what made you go, I'm going to yeah. go to the next level of actually higher production movies
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, I never, ever had to go to a studio production. I could make tons of money just doing my own, like,
right.
stuff. But there was a point where I was like, I want to do something big and professional. And I always had the dream of doing something that was, like, well-scripted and directed, and I could act in it again.
Okay.
Like, I really wanted to act in a porn film and, like, have hot sex, but also have good acting and directing and everything. And it really just happened that Vixen called me to do a scene for Blacked. For their one of their brands, Blacked, and I was kind of nervous about it, but I was like, I don't know. They do such high quality productions, like they're the most high quality of all the business, like of what they do. And so I was like, okay, let me do this. And when I did it, it was such a good experience, and I had a script, and I was acting again, even though it was a small script. It was still like I felt like I was really like doing a high quality production and stuff. But that's not the thing that got me going. It did get me going. But that the Saturday that my Blacked scene was released, mm-hmm. I didn't mention it to the press or anything, but it became like this viral moment on the internet.
Because of your past.
Because of my past. Yeah. But I didn't mention it to the press.
Yeah.
But so it broke the internet. I mean, it broke Black's internet because the website crashed and stuff. And so it was going crazy. But Caden Cross, who was a contract star back in the 2000s and 2010s and all that, who was super famous and she, as a porn star, and she started a brand with Vixen called Deeper.com. She had just started 4 months before I did my Black scene. And it's all under the same umbrella of Vixen. So she was doing her first feature film, which is a full scripted film. And that was her dream, too, to do a full.
So it's how long is this? Like a hour
75
and a half?
Well, okay. With the sex scenes, I think it's like 4 hours, like, because they're like 40 minutes each.
Yeah.
But if you were just doing the actual acting stuff.
Yeah.
But she was starting to film it. On the Saturday, my scene was released, and the girl in the scene, like, had some issues and had to drop out, let's just say.
Okay.
And she didn't think she was going to be able to do the scene because she was on a deadline. Or she didn't think she was going to do the feature. And so she went to Vixen, like, that Monday and said, I don't think I can do this. I can't find somebody who can do a lot of dialogue and, like, a big feature film that she was trying to accomplish in this short of time because I think we only had, like, a month to go. And they were like, talk to Maitland. She acts like she, and then she's like, Maitland, what? And she actually was a Boy Meets World fan, but she didn't realize who I was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so we met that Monday, 2 days after that scene at a Starbucks. And I read her script and I was like, wait a minute, this is like a full feature, like an independent film or something. Like, this is exactly what I've been wanting. And we met and we talked and we started filming, and the rest is history. And that is the one that I announced to the press, and that beat Bernie Sanders' heart attack on Google searches the day that it came out.
So,
yeah, that I, Rachel does.
Okay,
porn.
So now at this point, do the parents know?
The parents found out from news, what was it, New York Post? No. One of those.
That wrote about it because it's
yes.
like, boy,
and my
world
dad calls
star.
Up and he's like, wait a minute, what is this?
And at this point, did they know you were doing, they only thought you were doing like,
it
like
was
sexy
all very,
photos?
Yes. It was all very secretive. I like, it was all not secretive.
Now
like,
at this point, you're making a lot of money.
Yes. Before I did anything in porn, I could have like made money and been secret and did all that
right,
for the
right.
rest of my life or whatever.
But doing the sexy stuff that you're doing just by yourself.
Yeah.
You guys are making good money.
Yes.
So is anyone around you noticing that, like, well, they're kind of rolling in it?
Well,
like,
my friends and stuff, yeah, there would be people. But, like, yeah, definitely. There was my friends and stuff who would, like, see you. Like, what is she doing? At first, everybody thought, oh, is she on drugs? Is she crazy? Is she all this? But then it was like, wait a minute, she's making good money and she's successful at this and she's getting more respect than she ever has. And, like, she's getting, like, now acting roles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but then my parents, my dad found out. But I have to say, my parents have been super supportive of me.
Yeah.
Super. I mean, I'm 45 years old now. No, I'm an only child.
Okay.
So I think that helps a little bit. I didn't have any siblings.
Do you guys have any kids?
No. Two dogs.
That's nice. So, Okay, so like, so you got the awards. You go to like the AVNs.
I know. Can you? I didn't even think I would be nominated, and then I won. Like, I've won so many. I've won, I think, as many awards as I've been in scenes. Like, I was like, do I have the best ratio of all the awards? Because I think I've won like 13 or so awards, and I've been like, okay, I've been like at 20 scenes.
And I mean,
everything's. You know what's funny? Will Friedle from Boy Meets World was calling me up, and he's so sweet about it, everything. But he's like, I won't watch anything you do because you're my little sister. But he's like, do you do like two scenes a day? And I was like, two scenes a day? I do 10 a year. Like,
you do 10 scenes a
year. Yeah. I mean, like, I do big features.
Yeah.
I do the big deals.
Right. So you're not boning three different guys.
No.
In three different movies in a day.
I do the big feature films.
Like, I think people have the vision of like,
that's what
like
he was thinking.
Hot day in the valley, and you're just like driving,
that's
and
what
like
he asked
you're like
I was
wiping
like, no.
your crotch out with like a wipe in between scenes.
Yes. Although I have to say the weirdest thing in a scene is when he's fucking you. Can I say fuck
yeah.
on this? And the guy comes in and pours lube on his dick, and like the AD,
yeah, comes that's in. Someone's job.
Yeah, it's someone's yeah. job, and he's like very serious about it, and it's like, oh hi.
You know what that reminds me of? It's like, you know when you'd be doing like a regular show, like a sitcom or yeah. ABC, and then you would, and then they'd be like, let's start or something. And then they'd say, we need the cup a little to the left. And then you'd move it to the left and they'd be like, stop.
Yes.
Bring the prop master out.
Yes.
Because of the union.
The
so
job.
Then they'd be like, right. okay, like you can't move that. Yeah. So like if you
there
were like,
the lube master.
I can do that. They're like, nope.
The lube master is so disinterested in anything that's happening
no,
in the
he's
scene.
He's just making sure that yeah. there's enough lube for you.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
It's
like,
his job. And yeah. he's also the one who sprays spunk on your face because,
yes.
you know, guys in pictures, they will never do real, like, ejaculation.
Oh, they won't? Why?
Well, because they do it for the scene, so they oh. can't do it twice. So we have to do oh. a scene thing and also, like, pictures.
Oh, photos.
So, yeah. So he does it real for the scene, but you can't make him do it twice. So they get spunk lube or Cetaphil.
Oh.
Did you know Cetaphil is the secret spunk ingredient in porn? That is what is all over your face on those pictures.
And, you know, have you watched, like, what have you, like, honestly, I'm very interested in porn, and I, like, never
I watch, love that.
I never watch it.
You need to watch mine. No.
Okay.
You need to watch mine because it is scripted.
But
it's
I,
not stupid. But it's not like, Brazzers whole, where they're like, ooh,
I've
like,
always just
pizza
been, like,
guy's coming.
Super fascinated. Like, there used to be this, like, public access show back when I was, like,
wait
in
a minute.
My 20s.
I know what you're talking about.
And it was, like, a talk show, but with porn stars.
Yes. What was that?
I don't know, but I would watch it. And I was fascinated by hearing these girls' stories.
I remember that.
And so, like, I knew them.
Yeah.
And I still, like, never really watched it. I was just kind of fascinated
yeah.
how they got into it, how they were, like, the happy porn star and how.
Yeah.
Because it was always, like, the stories of, oh, my God, this is so sad how this girl got, like, sucked into porn.
I know. I hate those stories,
And then there
though.
Were everybody that I ever met or interviewed, you know,
yeah.
had a very different take on it. And, like, I interviewed this one porn star, and oh my God, I feel bad. Her name's like escaping me, but she came on the show because I heard her in the podcast about Tracy Lords.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And she and I remember like seeing her because she was always on like she did like Vivid Radio and she had
Jesse James, maybe?
No.
Okay.
But I know who Jesse James is too.
Yeah.
But like anyway, I feel bad that she's gonna probably be mad because I think she probably listens. And I'm sorry that
Mary Carey at all?
No, but I've interviewed Mary Carey,
I know
too.
Mary Carey. I know her very well. Before porn.
I interviewed Mary Carey, too, who I, you know. And
she's
like,
funny.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's
and
good.
Like, so I'm always just, like, kind of interested of just, like, you know, just talking about it so openly and
yeah.
being like, look, I liked sex. I liked people watching
yeah.
me on set. I like people watching me at home. Like, I'm good. And how many people are able to have, like, you know, the monogamous marriage at home. But, like,
right.
this is the work and this is mm-hmm. the that. And so I'm always been, like, just really fascinated by it. And I remember one time in the 90s, I was like hanging out, like, you know, it's like my comedy, like Groundlings days. And someone invited me to some porn award. It wasn't the Vegas
no,
one.
No, they used to have one in the Valley.
In LA.
Or in like
somewhere.
Studio City or something. Or no, at Universal City Walk. Did they do that?
I don't know, but I
okay.
went to it.
Okay. It wasn't
And I
ABN.
Wore just
yeah.
like a cute black dress. Okay?
Yeah.
And there's these, and I did think that it was like, I didn't know what to expect, right? There's these guys like with these big cameras. It's a long time ago. No one has
yeah.
iPhones, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember they were like, can we get a picture with you? And I was like, I think they think I'm a porn star. Like, I was like a little bit like, no, but I was like, yes. Like, I was kind of
so
like,
cute.
Oh my God. So then I'm just like, but I was just like kind of fascinated at like the scene. And I was just like, let me just observe the way I observe everything else in my life. Like, I'm just
I love that.
Curious. Yeah. And and then with this one person, you know, I interviewed, like, she, you know, has a whole, like, you know, separate life that she protects. You know.
Oh, a lot of, most people do.
But then there'll be moments in her life where someone will be like, because she doesn't really do, now she does stuff on OnlyFans, but she is older. So, but there'd be people that would remember from, like, I mean, she was really, like, a big deal. Okay, so let's talk about, like, the money. Because, how does the money work today as far as, like, what people make? Because back in the day, it used to be you got paid per scene and this was your quote. But obviously there wasn't a union where you'd get residuals or whatever. But a lot of TV now, you don't get residuals either because it's like reality.
Streaming and all that. Yeah,
it's like reality shows and stuff. So it's like, how does it work, or back end or what?
I believe I have the top salary in the business per scene. I do. Okay. I mean, you know, but I make six figures a month on OnlyFans.
Great.
And so, and then I also have a Fleshlight, which is the mold of my vagina and asshole.
Great. Oh, and asshole. Okay. Okay.
And it's tight chicks and a Toy Meets World. So you can go and buy them. So,
really?
Yes. Good. I'm not joking.
Now, they didn't come after you for using the name or anything?
No. Because Toy Meets World, they can't really come after.
Oh, Toy Meets World.
Toy Meets World.
Oh, I thought you said they can't really say anything. Oh, Toy Meets World. That's very clever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't come up with it. The Fleshlight people came
up with it. Well, they were smart to do that.
They were very smart. Yeah. I like that. And when they came to me with that, I was like, that's really cute.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They couldn't come after me for that. But, yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of different, like, streams of income that are from porn. It's amazing to me. If you would have said that a Disney star who was, like, not the star of the show, but, like, did well and
yeah,
had success.
Worked. Yeah.
But became a top porn star, award winning with money, like making money and became a writer. Like, my dream because of porn. I became.
So you write some of the movies.
Yeah, I do write some of the stuff. Yeah, I have a couple scenes that I write, but on my book, like, it's like.
And right, you wrote the book. Yeah. True, of course.
I mean, I know a lot of actors come on and say they write their books, but it's like they're ghostwritten mostly.
Of course. Yeah. You know,
and I respect you because you're a writer.
Yeah, I also don't blame someone. You got a juicy story and you don't want to do it. Yeah. Go to a hotel room, lay on the couch, let some chick type away.
Yeah.
But I did every word of that book. Yeah, if it's not your thing, but when you are a writer and you like
so
it.
I was so excited.
Yeah. You can really enjoy it and it's fun to, like, go back.
But it was
and tweak
so
it.
Weird to go back. I mean, I know you've written stuff. Isn't it weird to go back?
And, like, and read it?
And no, talk about your life in the past. Like, to, like, examine yourself, I guess.
Yes. I mean, my books both came out before I ever started doing this podcast.
Oh, okay. So,
and so people were like, would you write another book? And
would
now
you?
Honestly, I do so much content and share so much about my life on here and my Patreon as well. My Patreon is, like, the more personal family.
Right.
Relationship friend.
That's kind of how my
little,
Patreon
or
is
a little
now.
Bit deeper. Like, even if I want to, you know, I'll kind of reflect on the shows that I did this week, but then I'll go a little deeper on something that I know is just safer with a smaller audience type of a thing. And I know that they're my real fans that are like not out to, like, you know,
you
said the wrong word and now we're going to, you know, call all your sponsors to make sure that you never make a dollar. Like, no. So, I mean, I think that is all great. The Patreon, the OnlyFans, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But with writing a book, like, it is so much work and it's just like, I'm not in that mode anymore. When I wrote the books I was writing at Chelsea Lately. So I was like, I was very into, like, getting on there and typing and in that mode. And now my mode is this and creating these shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm not
sure. You've written the book.
I'm not
so
right.
Like,
I've written two. So I'm never going to say never, never.
Yeah, sure.
But, for me, like, I mean, you only have so much
information.
Yes.
You know what's so funny? They have this Boy Meets World podcast now.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, but it's called
Pod Meets World.
Yeah.
And Will, actually, from the show, he's sweet. He calls me up and he wants me to be on it and stuff, and he's very sweet.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, Danielle on the show, she, like, is giving all this information out, like, these sound bites and everything, and I'm like, she wrote a book years ago. Why didn't she put it in the book?
Because
it's like, what? Like, is this – why is it coming out now?
Right. Well, it's like a Meghan Markle who like saved her juice for the pod.
Yeah.
It's you like, know? Whoa, I'm always like, that's what I say when people walk in. I'm like, save it for the pod.
save it for the pod.
So, hey, you know what?
You said that when I walked in.
Yes.
I said I was such a fan of yours because I love like a beautiful, smart, funny woman.
Oh,
like
thank
I'm really,
you.
No, I love that. I respect that so much. But.
But yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, everyone is doing their thing.
We
and I think
free
it's great.
In the past, though. I think in the past it was a little like we were a little more nervous to say things. Like well, now that we have more freedom.
More freedom. And she also probably feels like, you know, like I said about certain things, like you're still hoping to get called back to do that job or whatever. Yeah. And now
right.
she feels like it really wouldn't
matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
And like, yeah. And if I do something in this field, it's like this one producer isn't going to be the one that can say yes or no to me the way they had so much more power back in the day.
You know,
like where you – like I even brought this up the other day on my show where I'm like, you know, with Britney –
yeah,
like in her 22 minutes reflecting. And I'm like, even people that have not been like seriously as abused as she.
Right.
You can look back on a job like you did.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and be like, what the fuck?
That's
like,
what I did.
Like,
I know.
What was that? And why? And like you can sometimes even be a little bit mad at yourself. And
yes.
you shouldn't be because you were younger. But you're like, why the hell was I not like, the photographer, you know, the wardrobe girl can take a photo of me. I don't need
that's
to
what I felt.
Wear a pair of heels and strut into a room and turn around and then have them tell me something and then I have to laugh. I just imagine you standing there.
Yes.
Like, they say something so then your tits are bouncing and you're like 21 and you're like, when's craft services? Like,
yes, exactly. And it wasn't like they sexually assaulted me. It was more like I was the butt of a joke all the time.
Yes.
Like I was the butt of some boy's locker room joke.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And like all the scripts that I was in and stuff, it's like I had a food fight where I had to rub marinara sauce on Will. It wasn't Will's fault, Will Friedle's face. He was just the actor in it. But somebody in the office had a food foot fetish. Like, I'm serious.
Oh, well, you know about all the Dan Schneider stuff.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love that that's coming out. And
I know. It's like crazy.
Even
like,
with Jeanette McCurdy's book.
Yes. She did a great book. Yeah.
She turned down $300,000. They wanted to give her $300,000 to sign something when the show ended that she would never talk about Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Or Dan Schneider. So in the book, she calls him the creator.
But
And I believe she's not holding back. I believe her story is her story. Whether he did worse stuff to other people,
right?
That's those people to tell. And maybe
probably.
They were paid
on. Yeah.
Who knows how many people accepted the $300 that
had
worse stuff happen to them or whatever they offered them.
Yeah.
And she even said, God, at one point, I was like, what was I
so
thinking?
Crazy.
And I mean, her book's a hit and it's really
it's really
interesting because it's like you know it's that whole child star thing and it's crazy because it's like I'm like we still do need like kids to act. I mean like if you're in a movie
I think now
it's not like nobody we feel like you're doing a thing and there's a mom and she has a 6-year-old who is eating a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Right.
Like, we still need kids to act. It's not all horrific.
I think now, though, it's a little better because people are keeping a watch on things like
course.
That.
Yeah.
Back then, they were just like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yes. Well, I'm so excited. Congratulations.
Aww.
This is, I'm definitely going to read it. And tell everybody where they can get more, and obviously order the book and all that.
Oh, well, they can order Rated X anywhere, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are really sold. And it's coming out next Tuesday. It's coming out now, September 6th.
Yeah.
We taped this a little earlier.
Yeah.
No, but it's September 6th, and you can see it there. And Maitland Ward is my handle on everything.
Okay, guys, I actually didn't end the show. I had actually more questions, and they are even more graphic, a little definitely dirtier. So if you want to hear it, fair warning, stay and keep listening. And again, I wouldn't have it blaring through your car. Here we go.
So
yeah, and what would you tell like someone who is a young girl that like, or not young, or just someone that like is like, you know what, this is what I want to do. And I mean, is there ever a point where you're like, I'm going to stop doing this? Like, do you have a date or anything?
No. And it's not, you know what, I want to tell everybody, and this is really why I wrote the book too. It's not about me doing porn. I mean, that's the shock factor or whatever, because I did something so more salacious than most people would do. But if somebody is telling you no, like I've been told like in the past, you cannot be sexy. No one will pay a dime for you being sexy.
Who said that?
My publicist at the time. And he was trying to be helpful. If he was.
Well, this is when you were still doing mainstream acting.
Yes, but it was around the time when Girl Meets World was coming out and stuff. And he's like, don't put up the sexy pictures. If they wanted somebody sexy, they'd choose somebody 25. And so, and I was, getting to be late 30s or whatever. And I was like, but then at that time I was like, I was old enough and I guess smart enough to think, no, I'm going to be my own self. And I think that's true for anyone, especially women. They need to go out and forge their own paths. If people are telling you no, they don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to make your own path and stuff. So I really think it doesn't have to be porn. It could be, you could be, want to be an artist or like a gardener or whatever you want to be, like a chef. Like, but if it's something that's passionate to you.
You had such a positive experience because I think you were older, because you worked in the business,
absolutely.
Because you took kind of a, honestly, like a kind of cool step word into it with the Instagram and the Patreon and the OnlyFans and then the full, you know, stuff. Like, is there anything that you, that you would say, don't do this or do this, or what I would tell some, or to be careful, or like any kind of advice, like someone that is thinking, I think I'm going to make
porn?
Get into porn or get into this field. Like,
I think OnlyFans is a great way to do it because it's your own stuff. You're not being controlled by anybody else. You're doing your own content and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is important to, like, if you don't have any following or anything, you, like, mainstream porn is something that you would want to do. Like, just, but.
Like, if you have no following,
So I was wondering that.
Everyone's starting, like, an OnlyFans, and I get that. But I'm like, well, if you're just,
They're kind of peeling off now, though.
The ones that
just came in like a nurse or something, or like, you know, who wasn't really serious about it, but in the pandemic, they were like, because it is a job and you have to be
really
serious.
It's like podcasting.
Serious. Yes, exactly. There's so many podcasts and then people peel off because they're like, it's too hard. I can't do it. So it's like that. Exactly.
Yeah.
To have longevity in it, it's very difficult. But I would say that definitely listen to yourself. Know your boundaries and know your limits. And I think that's true for acting, for any actress coming into the field.
I mean, in the porn, since this is the end of the show, like, is there something that you won't do or, like, that you were like, I never thought I would do this?
Oh,
like,
I never knew I'd be so good at anal.
Okay.
No, honestly.
Had you done anal, like, in your private life?
But not in the massive dicks that I later had.
Okay.
So I have a whole chapter in my book about anal cleaning out and all that. But I've discovered that I'm easily cleaned out, and I took it all right away. I thought right away I'd be like, oh my God, this massive dick, I'm going to have to wait for like to warm up. And it was like, it went in all the way right away. Am I surprised?
So you love that? And you love that?
No, I do. No, I was impressed with myself. And you know what? I found myself in porn along the way being impressed with myself. Like the first time I did a blowjob, I was like, okay, on my content with my husband, like filming it and everything. And I wanted to like tiptoe into it. So I did a blowjob with a big dick. I was like, wow, I'm good at this. I'm slobbering all over this thing.
And then what about?
I'm impressed with my husband. Impressed.
And then what about like? Do you do multiple guys at the same time?
Absolutely. I've done an orgy at 3:30 in the morning, like on deeper.com.
So there's really nothing you
with
won't.
Snakes. With snakes.
Real snakes.
Well,
snakes are in you?
No. They were crawling over us at one point, and then they left the vicinity. Like, we didn't do anything with the snakes.
So you have surprised yourself.
I have surprised myself.
And so is there anything you won't do that other people are doing on film?
There's very little. Because beforehand, we'll talk about it. And we'll like, what is your no's? What are your yeses? Like, what do you not want? And I'm like, I really have very few no's. I mean, maybe if I was doing some very hardcore like BDSM scene, I would like, I don't know, I'm kind of open to a lot. And I've surprised myself with that. Like, I just did a DP.
Oh, that's a double penetration.
Yes. I did two.
That means
I actually did two.
So that means one is in your mouth and one is in your
vagina. No, one's in my vagina and one's in my asshole.
And so, and they're attached to two guys.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if that was like.
No, you could do a double penetration with like toys or something.
Yeah.
But yes, it was two guys.
And that was the first time you'd ever done that?
Yes, it was, because it's very hard to find guys in real life. Like that, and I was too nervous in my past.
That want another guy in the scene?
Yes.
Okay.
because they get very, like, I don't know, like they have their own issues.
Yeah.
With it.
I think it's like a have, like, it's, yeah, it's like it. It's like gay light or something.
Yeah, I don't know. They have their own issues with it. So yeah, it's hard to find two guys that will want to do it in the same scene like that.
Okay.
It's easier in porn, but in real life it's like, you know.
Oh, okay. And do the guys still not get paid very much?
They get paid less than the women. Yes. Yeah.
It's the only industry.
I know. When I came in, I was like, wait a minute. Women get paid more. The women directors are winning all the prizes, like all the awards. It's like... Yeah, it's the only industry.
Well.
You've learned a lot.
I've learned a lot, and I appreciate you answering the questions. And, everybody get the book, follow her, figure it out.
Figure it out.
Have fun in your own room with her by yourself, or make a business out of it. Do your thing.
Do it.
Do your thing. Who cares? Just be happy.
Yes. That's awesome. My theme.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.